From the fourth and a half floor of the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM.
You're listening to Sister Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your mind.
Welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth in Care Network. My name is Mary. I am one of the hosts today. I am the outreach coordinator at Voices, and I am joined with...
I'm Daniel.
And we're so happy to be here. We had to take a little break because we do have some exciting news that we're going to share with you guys shortly. But we're going to start with an icebreaker. Today's question is, if you could move to anywhere in Canada, where would you move?
Okay, I can start first. I know Mary probably would say a certain city or town. I like that town, not spoiling like for her, but I would say Rocky Mountain House, because it is really lovely places. If you haven't been to that town, it is right in between the prairies and the mountains. Yeah, people are super chill there, because I crashed my car once there. I'm not a driver, but we crashed. And the people there is super nice to us, just help us find a hotel and everything. And to be honest, and anywhere with a McDonald's is a good place to live.
I think that's everywhere, Daniel.
But anyways, I think, yeah, Rocky Mountain House is a really like lovely place that I want to like live on. More, because mm-hmm. it's not on a major tourist like route. It is really good for an introvert like me to like just enjoy the nature. Enjoy mm-hmm. the prairies, have a horse or two or a donkey, and just, yeah, live my peaceful life.
Kind of living the cowboy lifestyle out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeehaw is my middle name.
Yeah, so Daniel already knows my answer. Canmore, Alberta. that's a little town, I guess they call it, right?
I would say city.
You think so? Yeah, okay. It's so cute, though. I remember stopping there on the way to Banff, and Banff was, you know, the primary spot we were going to be at. And I just fell in love with Canmore. Like, there's so many beautiful walking trails. You're surrounded by mountains.
Yeah.
And I also appreciate it's less touristy than Banff.
Yeah.
Right?
It is. It is way, like, less busy, less crowded. It's just a hidden gem.
Yeah.
You don't pay park pass.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I went there, I was just bumming to a whole herd of elk. And it's so crazy. Everyone just stopped and... look at them peacefully. They're trying to cross the road. People even call the RCMP to stop all the cars. And they're huge. They are like massive. And when I saw them, they were not having the antlers. So they're even smaller than what they usually look like.
Mm.
It is crazy. And the best part, Mary, you probably would want to move in like right after this. They have a cafe called Black Dog Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two black Labrador. And they will let you pet them in front of the store. And the best part is their mushroom English muffin sandwich.
At the Black Cafe?
The best one I ever had.
The food is very good out there. I do remember that. I remember having some fantastic pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous little town. Just become a little mountain woman.
Best place to raise a kid. Because they play around me and my sister. We play as a kid there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely.
That being said, we do love Winnipeg. We are residents of Winnipeg. But, you know, we can dream once in a while.
Or it could be your favorite vacation place.
That's right.
And when you retire, you can move there.
That's right. All right, what do we have for our Voices updates?
So upcoming, we have Empower You on Monday from 5 to 7. This week, we are doing something really exciting. It will be a tour of our new space, our office. Yeah, dinner provided. So if you want to come, please join us. And as I mentioned, we moved. And the new location is at The Link. So Mary, please give us more details about the locations.
So The Link is located on 175 Mayfair Avenue, and they support families and youth, and they have a gorgeous building that we are now in. Access to so many resources. There's a nurse practitioner, there's a youth hub drop-in where youth between the ages of 18 to 29 can come in, hang out. There's computer, there's phones, there's food. They have laundry, they have wonderful people to help with housing. They have people that can help with EIA intakes. We're just really surrounded by such a wonderful community of people that want to support youth. And I'm so glad that we get to be in this space. We're in a space that is easy to access. And I know that we've heard from a few of our participants that it'll be a little easier to get here. So we are so excited about this move. We're so glad to be here. And yeah, we're going to have a little tour on Monday the 13th, and we'll have pizza. So if you are interested, do not hesitate to reach out to us. Our number has stayed the same. It is 204-982-4956, 204-982-4956, and our emails have not changed either. So you can reach us at info@voices.mb.ca.
Before we dive into a more serious conversations, we want to acknowledge that Voices Manitoba's Youth in Canada Network acknowledge that we are on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Oshete, Shakowin, and the Red River Métis. We recognize that this land has long been a place of gathering, learning, and community. We honor and support the presence, resilience, and the contributions of the Indigenous people. As a Youth in Canada Network, we also acknowledge the impact that the child welfare system has on Indigenous children, families, and communities. We are committed to listening, learning, advocating, and empowering Indigenous and non-Indigenous youth in or from care to make a meaningful change alongside them.
Thank you for the land acknowledgement, Daniel. We are going to go into our rights highlight, and today we are covering Article 27. Of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. Parties recognize the right of every child to a standard of living adequate for the child's physical, mental, spiritual, moral, and social development. The parents or others responsible for the child have the primary responsibility to secure, within their abilities and financial capacities, the conditions of living necessary for the child's development. Parties, in accordance with national conditions and within their means, shall take appropriate measures to assist parents and others responsible for the child to implement this right and shall, in case of need, provide material assistance and support programs, particularly with regard to nutrition, clothing, and housing. And lastly, parties shall take all appropriate measures to secure the recovery of maintenance for the child from the parents or other persons having financial responsibility for the child. And next, we're going to cover Article 21 from the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Indigenous people have the right, without discrimination, to the improvement of their economic and social conditions, including the areas of education, employment, vocational training and retraining, housing, sanitation, health, and social security. States shall take effective measures and, where appropriate, special measures to ensure continuing improvement of their economic and social conditions. Particular attention shall be paid to the rights and special needs of Indigenous elders, women, youth, children, and persons with disabilities.
Thanks, Mary. Next, we have a song break. Here is Half Blood by Cassidy Mann. Second hand in bed. Welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. You're listening to System Kit. Next, we're going to have Community Connections. This week, we are featuring The Link Youth and Family Support. The Link is an organization that supports children, youth, adults, and families with the goal of building an inclusive community that fosters belonging, pride, and purpose. Their work is based on compassion, community, and empowerment. Here, we want to feature a couple of their services or program they offer. First, if you or someone you know are in crisis, they have a crisis hotline that you can text or call 24/7. I believe they call it as a mobile crisis team that they can reach to whoever in need as well. They also have an emergency shelter that is next door operating 24/7 for youth ages 12 to 20. And me and Mary visited that a while ago. It is pretty nice, mm-hmm. and it's a safe space for youth, if you need those services. They also offer counseling service, including counseling, family therapy, parent group, addiction services, therapies, specifically to help people cope with when in crisis. One of the best part of The Link is since last year, they became an Indigenous-led organization under the Broken Head Ojibwe First Nation. So here they offer an Indigenous initiative team that works to connect youth to skills, knowledge, traditional languages, experience, and land-based practice for Indigenous families. They also have a youth hub, which is a safe space for youth from the ages of 12 to 29, where they can hang out and have access to a range of resources such as mental health, food, showers, laundry, etc. And yeah, me and Mary have been to there a couple of times, and it is a really nice and safe space for you to connect and just relax. My favorite part is the next thing, which they have a medical clinic offering a low barrier access to primary health care. I believe it is a nurse practitioner, and she is here a couple of times a week, which is really awesome. So yeah, and we're so excited to move into The Link because this is a really nice building, nice office, surrounded with a lot of like-minded people. So yeah, They are located at 175 Mayfair Avenue, and you can call them with the number 204-477-1722, 204-477-1722. The email is info@thelink.mb.ca.
Thanks, Daniel, for sharing that community connection with us. Next, we're going to go into our child welfare in the news segment. Today, we have an article from CBC News posted March 26, 2026, titled, Kids Say They're Aging Out of Foster Care Without Supports, Life Skills, Youth-Led Report. Manitoba's foster care system is failing to prepare kids for the realities of adult life, a new youth-led report says. The 78-page report, titled Nigan Nake Ashkana, which means Forward Youth in Anishinaabemowin, was developed by the Youth Ambassador Advisory Squad at the Manitoba Advocate for Children and Youth and released Thursday. The advisory squad, which is made up of young people from across Manitoba and focuses on the well-being of kids in the child welfare system, interviewed 17 youth to find ways to improve the transition out of the system. The peer-to-peer project centers around the young people's stories, laying out recommendations while exploring themes that include treatment and care, culturally safe services, education and life skills, and transitioning out of care. The interviews found children and youth in foster care are often set up for failure rather than success, the report says. Many not only leave the system with more trauma than they came in with, but also frequently age out without a high school diploma, essential life skills, family and community support systems, nor a strong sense of identity and belonging, it says. Several of those who took part in the project shared a common experience of being discarded by the system with no resources, guidance, or safety net, according to the report. A good transition out of Manitoba's foster care system should begin on the day a child or youth enters the system, not when they exit it, the report author says. The experiences young people have while in care profoundly shape how they leave it and whether they are able to thrive afterward. Participants in the report said life after aging out of foster care was focused on surviving, not living. Social workers did not make transition plans with them or prepare them for what to expect, according to the report. Some participants also said they were not taught basic life skills like how to grocery shop, cook, clean, get identification documents, manage money, pay bills, and do taxes while in care. Youth who are left to navigate adulthood without adequate support are more vulnerable to cycles of instability, homelessness, substance use, and unemployment, the report says. Affordable housing is among the most urgent need for youth aging out of care, it says. They also need stronger support networks and regular one-to-one sessions with social workers before exiting the system. Many interviewees said unstable, unpredictable, and often chaotic living conditions while in care often led them unable to focus on school, while a lack of support and encouragement from their foster or group homes left them ill-equipped to pursue an education. Participants also said they faced unfair treatment in Manitoba foster homes, with many describing feeling like second-class members of their foster families and being subject to different rules and expectations than the family's biological children. The report recommends stronger screening and vetting processes for foster parents, along with training to help children and youth understand their rights in the foster care system, their caregivers' obligations, and where to find support to advocate for themselves. The interviews revealed a strong sense that children in care are unheard and lack any meaningful voice in decisions that affect them, the report says. It recommends more consistent, caring, and trauma-informed contact with kids to ensure safe living conditions. I'm really glad to hear that youth were able to come together and share their stories and be heard as the experts of their own experience having been in care. Some of these stories that we hear are not new to us. We've been hearing these for a long time, and especially the unpreparedness for adulthood. This is something Voices is very passionate about advocating for, that mm-hmm. youth need to be prepared for adulthood. It doesn't get easier once we turn 18, and that these skills should be taught to us, that this plan of aging out, these discussions should be happening as early as 15, or like the article said, as soon as a child enters care. And when this doesn't happen, it leaves young people in a very vulnerable place, because adulthood without supports, without the relationships we need, without housing, without employment, without education is very, very difficult. And it's just one obstacle after another. And we see this as very preventable, that these young people need people in their lives that care about them and want to see them succeed and be successful adults. So this report is important.
Yes.
You know, we always hope that with these reports, we see some change. And I'm just so glad that the youth were the center of this.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mary. Next, we're getting into a song break. We have July 16th by Sniper J.
July 16th, 22, this would have been my note to end it. I wish I could say some motivational quotes to rotate the flow of energy that I hold, but I'm a broken record. I'm tired of being objective because don't no one get it. I've cornered the conclusion that something's off with me. If you ask anyone that know me and speak to them honestly, they probably say the same without hesitation and novelty. Wired deep in my brain that I don't belong and it's haunting me. This ain't a song, it's an alternative for a knife, for a gun, for some pills that could have cut the cords of life. I was popping E at 14, trying to distort my sight, cause I ain't like what I saw in the mirror, looking for a light. I love the thought of giving to my mother some grandkids, but I hate the thought of passing in the pain that I can't fix. And what's the point of life if death is present within you? Shit, everything points to death and I've been dying to get to. You feel me?
Hello and welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. We are now in our second half of the show, and today's topic, we're going to be discussing moving. As we mentioned earlier, Voices has moved to the Link on 175 Mayfair. So the past few weeks has been a lot of packing, a lot of moving things, a lot of unpacking and organizing. And we definitely have some insights and some things that we learned from this experience that we wanted to talk about today. But before we get into some questions, you know, we do want to acknowledge that moving can be very bittersweet. And I'm sure for anyone that has moved, whether that's homes, sometimes countries, sometimes jobs, you know, it's not always easy. On one hand, there is opportunity for exciting change and growth. Maybe we're experiencing a new environment and new people. But on the other hand, there can be feelings of loss and grief, that we might miss our old environment, we might miss the people we were once surrounded by. And these feelings, the good and the bad, are totally normal. Feeling happy for change or sadness for change is what makes us human. And both of these feelings can exist at the same time within us. And I can say for myself, moving from our previous location, from the BGC head office to the Link, definitely brings about excitement and inspiration, but it also brought some hard feelings. Voices home was at BGC for a very long time, and it was like an era. Youth became familiar with the space and the people, and we want to recognize that this change might be difficult for some people. But we also want to take the opportunity to reach more youth, to collaborate with organizations that support youth, and to develop some really wonderful programming for youth.
Yeah, just as much that, like, moving, like, there's excitement of the unknown, new things, but also there's a hard part that often you need to let go something. Either it's a physical, like, possessions of items, things, or yeah, you're leaving a place that you see it as a home for so long. So yeah, that's like the nervousness, like, it's all in it. It's a mix. It's a mix of feelings.
Of course, and change often feels uncomfortable because it's new to us. But when we can break through that uncomfort, I think it creates space for some really beautiful things to happen. So Daniel, I wanted to ask you a question. We went through this moving process together. What is something that everyone should know before moving into, say, a house or an apartment?
Oh, wow. I think one of the most important thing you need to know is you're not alone in this, because as I said, like, that's frustration, like, when you move, because not everyone is good packer, not everyone is good at, like, getting things, like, organized and then into boxes, or how to wrap things up, like, you know, there's a lot of logistic things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many people that, like, you can find help, either friends or professionals. So yeah, you're not alone. That's one of the most important things.
Definitely. There's a lot of people out there that can help. I think one thing that I really took away from this was that early planning and packing goes mm-hmm. a very long way, because moving is a lot of work. And
yes.
like Daniel is saying, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And there is a finesse to it. There's a bit of a skill to it. So when able, you know, it's always a good idea to purge out the unwanted items if you are moving. We did that at Voices, which was also hard in a way, because you have to decide what to yeah. keep and what not to keep. But at the end of the day, if we're going to be moving a lot more than necessary, we want to, you know, lower our load a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so start packing things in boxes early so that when the day of the move comes, it can be done more efficiently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any funny stories about moving for the first time?
Wait, do you mean personal or?
Either or.
Either.
Something funny.
Yeah. I think for me, my first time moving out from my home was when I come to Canada. So it was a cross-country move.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have lots of possession I can carry on the plane.
Yeah.
It's just like three suitcases. But I remember, like, when I first moved to Canada, it was in the middle of winter. I think it's somewhere like right before New Year's Eve. I know Canada is cold. I don't know how bad it is. Because I was living in a tropical area, like always, like plus, you know, extreme cold warning is plus 12. So I packed a whole carry-on bag with all the jackets, extra like thermal pants, like I have everything, even have a ski mask. So the best funny part of it is as soon as I landed at Winnipeg Airport, as soon as I crossed, you know, when you step out of an aircraft, you get on the bridge. Normally, and you can feel like either hot air, cold air, like where the location is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the breeze, like, oh shoot, I'm stepping in the freezer. Like, good thing I have my stuff, and I still don't know how bad it is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's like just a foretaste of it,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know it's actually almost the same. So like, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in the washroom with that. We dress up every layers. We have like 5-10 layers.
Yeah.
Wrap our face. The only part that is exposed on my whole body was my eyes, which is covered my glasses. As I walk out of the belt where you get your like luggage, and we're walking out to find the cabs, I can see the security guard looking at me with doubt and questions. It's like they tell you they're suspicious without telling you they're suspicious of you. So basically, I look like a Chinese spy who failed to disguise himself and trying to walk into a new territories. By the way, I'm Chinese, so I can say that. Yeah, it was terrible. I walked outside for 2 seconds and said, oh, that's nothing. I went back and take off everything and said, yeah, don't do that. And the whole part, my dad was flaming it. So it is making it more hilarious.
Oh, we need to see the video.
Yeah, it's coming up next year, next fall. In a new like Asian hallmark like spy movie.
That's pretty funny. My story is not as funny as that, I don't think. That is quite the story,
yeah.
Daniel. I appreciate that. I mean, well, you love winter now, which is hilarious. So I see you wearing shorts sometimes in winter, which is very different than coming to Canada with a whole snowsuit apparel and everything. So it's funny how that changed for you, hey? But I'm glad it wasn't as bad as you anticipated.
Yeah.
My funny story is, I guess, just like not really knowing what I had to prepare for living by myself, just like the little maintenance things in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So I had a clogged pipe in my bathroom, in my sink and my bathtub at the same time for the longest time. And I didn't know how to fix it. So I was just getting Drano all the time, pouring Drano, like hoping that it would work, doing the whole thing. And then the Drano package says, if it doesn't work, return it.
Yeah.
So I was like, this thing's got to work then. No, that didn't work. And I just didn't know what I was doing. And I would just hold it off and, you know, not really pay attention to it. And then one day I had a friend come over and they're like, you just have to use a snake. I'm like, what is a snake? And so anyways, they showed me how to use a snake and was able to declog the pipes in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had been living with that for a long time by now. So just those little things are important to learn, how to just, you know, fix like a cabinet or just unclog a pipe and whatnot. Although your landlord or landlady should be able to help with that also.
They should, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of moving, like often you need to find like roommates, how to find a good space. So Mary, I want to ask you like any tips to for finding a best roommate, place, space, etc.
I think that when you're able to, try to be picky. Because finding a place that is close to resources or places that you might frequent often is always going to be beneficial. So for example, if exercising is something that's important to you, being near a gym will likely increase that habit of working out. If you enjoy walks, you know, being close to some trails will be something that could bring you joy. And with roommate, I think it's important you choose someone that has the same standards of living as you. Mm-hmm. I believe that we can love someone in our lives, but also not be compatible to live with them. And I think that's important. If your standard, for example, is no partying and you want the lights out by 10 p.m., you're going to want someone who also has that same lifestyle, right? If your standard is a nice, clean home, you're going to want to choose someone that also wants to keep it that way.
Yeah.
And sharing a space with someone is a big commitment. So just take your time deciding on who that is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just as Mary said, finding multiple place, more options is important, because sometimes like the single one like places you're looking at the time might not be the perfect fit for you. Maybe there's better deals like with like lower cost or better like facility or things like that can surrounding the house that you can use. That would be one of the concerns like that you need to like make sure you give yourself options and grace. And also as you said, Mary said, like, it's always good to sit down with whoever that might be potential housemate or roommate with you, like what values you guys like share or would like to share. If there's any like covenant or like agreement like of like living habit or like things like, oh, we're not taking friends over like overnight, or we take turns parking in the garage, you know, those have to be done before you move in, because like once you move in, it's really hard, trust me, it is really hard to change things,
to try to create new agreements or new rules, right? And even if you write it down with each other and you guys both sign it, you know, this is our, we hold this sacred, these are our rules, like this is how we want to share this space together, and then you can hold each other accountable.
Yes.
And like Daniel said, it can be really difficult, you know, to be like, hey, like, can you change this or whatnot? You know, it's like, well, we've been doing it a certain way for so long. So yeah, definitely great advice.
Of course.
So Daniel, in your lifetime, what has been the biggest lesson you have learned about moving?
The first thing, I mean, that's like two parts. On the picking like place to move part, make sure you be really careful when you do the inspection before you take the house or apartment. Because often what in my experience is like, oh, if we didn't pay attention, maybe they are already missing a couple of light bulbs at the beginning. And when you move out, they will charge you for that because they said, oh, that's missing light bulbs. And you didn't make sure they fix it before you move in or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be just like some extra cost you would pay and learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And this biggest thing I learned is don't be a procrastinator, because often for me, I'm a procrastinator, and I always don't want to pack things until last minute, like, oh, my U-Haul truck is like coming in tomorrow at 9, and like today, like midnight at 12 in the morning, like, oh, I still have like half of the apartment or house to pack, shoot. and then you just end up like overwork yourself for a bit, and then you crash. And remember, there's always unpacking. Unpacking is more worse than packing. So don't procrastinate. Just schedule ahead if you can, or as much as you can. And keep a regular pace, I would say, because then you don't overwork yourself or hurt yourself.
Yeah, no, it just makes it a little easier if you do it in increments slowly.
Yeah.
I would say one thing I've learned for sure is that with moving is that I want to do it the least amount of times possible in my lifetime. But that being said, something else I've learned is that new environments really do bring opportunity for growth. Mm. And it's not just growth in a material sense, but it could also be in a mental, emotional, and spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is because our habits are tied very closely to our environments. So when we change an environment and we do it in a positive way, we kind of create space for new positive habits to form and maybe for some old negative habits to diminish. So that's something I've really appreciated about moving and the opportunities that it brings.
I see. Next, we're diving into another song break. It is Jealous by Hawfield.
Welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. Today, Daniel and I are having a conversation about moving because, as we mentioned earlier, Voices has moved from BGC headquarters down to the Link on 175 Mayfair. And so we're just kind of debriefing on what that experience was like. Mm-hmm. So, Daniel, in regards to our big move with Voices, what did you find to be the biggest challenges?
For me, because I handle like more logistic things for this move, for me, the biggest challenges are to move everything safe and sound on time. You haven't visited a new space yet. Like, we, instead of like moving from like one very centralized location in the same floor at BGC headquarters, our spaces in the Link is like more spread out. Let's say we have like maybe a basement storage room that you have to walk downstairs without elevator, or our youth space and our office are in different floors as well. So like how to like manage like the movers that everything is delivered to the right location at the right amount of times. Like, I think that was challenging for me because, but thankfully we end up like we were on time, just on time, really on time.
Yeah,
but that could be frustrating just when yeah, you want to get things done and you know there's a time limit for your like moving like surfaces. Yeah. But I think, yeah, it went well.
Mm-hmm. It really did go well, and we must say that. I think one thing that was challenging was kind of deciding what to keep.
Yes.
And it was very easy to want to keep everything. And moving an office is very different than moving a personal space.
Yeah.
And, you know, this office has been used by many people before us, you know, many participants. And, you know, we did have to purge some stuff and go through, okay, what do we need going forward for the future of Voices?
Yeah.
And that was difficult because everything seemed important, right?
Yes.
But, you know, if stuff's dating back to 20 years ago, 15 years ago, then we have to say goodbye to some stuff. And that was a little bit difficult.
Yes.
In terms of what went smoothly with the move, I must say the moving service we hired was excellent. Two small men with big hearts, they did a really fantastic job. And I would say they were pretty quick and efficient. And I just want to say a huge shout out to that moving service. Like,
yeah.
I was a little bit apprehensive with two people moving everything, like plus Daniel and I helping and Aaron.
Yeah.
But they really, you know, led that and did most of the work.
All the heavy lifting. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that the day of the move, they were very quick and they had good attitudes and just amazing to work with.
Yeah. Two small men, not so small, with huge hearts.
Yeah. Two not so small men with big hearts.
But yeah, I think in terms of the smooth like part of the move, I would say like all the things we ordered, like new furniture or things we ordered and the move, everything are in place on time, which mm-hmm. is like the best part. Because like, you know, when sometimes things get delayed, it messes up the whole plan, right? And yeah, when we are here, like everything is like on the right spot, like there's not much we need to do mm-hmm. other than packing. So which is one of the most like successful part of this move, I would say.
Definitely. I do want to mention, Daniel and I built our desks ourselves. So we had two desks to build, and I think that took us 8 hours?
Less than eight? Yeah. Like, oh, yes. This is for sure a proud story for Mary and I. Because when we purchased our desk, like where we're using right now, on Costco, the review said two engineering degree holders took them 5 hours for one table. And me and Mary, like, the first one take a little bit longer, like 3 or 4 hours. So we're mm-hmm. still ahead of the engineers. And then the last table, like the Mary's one, it takes us 1 hour. Like it's just easy peasy.
It was definitely a full day task to get everything
yes.
done, but I was impressed with us and it was hard, but
yeah.
we did it.
And it's very satisfying when you get everything done and in pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about what was most exciting about the move? What can we look forward to with this new space?
I think the most exciting part for this move is the new location. To be honest, it's way closer for all the staff to get to the office because like, it is like not on the other side of the downtown Osborne area. But the best thing about this location is for our youth because it is for center locations. And next to lots of bus stops. Like that's one like maybe like 10, 20 meters away from the entrance on Smith Street. And yeah, multiple. And it's like way safer. Mm-hmm. And in the past, like our participants may have to walk like 15 to 20 minutes to their major bus stop, like next to the office, which is not very nice, especially in the evenings after program, in the dark. Mm-hmm. But here, it is like right in the center, like everyone's like right by. And it's a walking distance to the Forks, mm-hmm. which is like really nice for programming as well. So I'm really excited for this like move for the locations because for sure youth can feel more safe when they're joining our program and there's way less barrier for transportation.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think like entering into a location where we're just so surrounded by resources and mm-hmm. other people who support youth is very exciting. And I see so much potential for Voices and
yes.
youth we support with this location. We have so much collaboration we could do. Like Daniel mentioned, we're very easy to access. And I think we're really going to focus on developing some really wonderful programs for youth.
Absolutely. So Mary, like I wonder if Voices ever have to move location again, what would you do differently? Or what would you ask differently?
I think I would just double check on and have some communication over some of the items that we're bringing.
Yes.
Because I know there was a little bit of confusion, like, are we taking this cabinet with us? one person saying yes, one person saying no. Just to let's really break it down. Let's go over it. Do we need this? Do we not? On mm-hmm. the day of, you know, we might notice some new things.
Yes. But
I think it went just so well. Like, it's mm-hmm. really hard to think of what I would do differently. But
yeah, it only takes yeah. like maybe one day, like working day, to mm-hmm. like get most of the thing like unboxed and then packed and settled. Mm-hmm. So which is really good. For me, it might be a little bit off topic. It is also a little bit the biggest challenge about this move is we have to say goodbye to our beloved office
companion
support, Bucky Graham. He's a service doc, a champion, about to get into his 9 years birthday. We love you, Bucky. But yeah, we have to say goodbye. No more hugs with Buckys, whatever. But I think, yeah, for our next move, I think I would add something new to our wish list. Maybe we need like some maybe office service dog or office like support like companion. Because, mm-hmm. Sometimes you get like stressed with work or like highs and lows. It is always really good to have some self-care and also like care from our furry friends, right?
Definitely. I will say though, it was our second day here.
Yes.
There was a dog downstairs.
Yes.
But it was a participant, but it was nice. It's like, okay, well, we can still appreciate some animals around here for the meantime at least.
Yeah, I think we should probably make sure it's a pet friendly like environment.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it's really, it changed a lot.
It did, it was really nice. Bucky was always on our way to the bathrooms. And yeah. So if you're going to the bathroom, you always see Bucky there, and he is just so sweet. And
yeah,
it's...
even the mover, like, give him a hug. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, they melt everyone's hearts.
Yeah, but I believe Bucky will be coming to visit us here, so
we hope so, yeah. We'll break the ice.
Yeah. Well, that is going to be all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back at the same time next week. Bye!
Bye-bye.
the heart of downtown Winnipeg, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM.
Support for CKUW is provided by the Western Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Community is important to us. Did you know that the WEC offers free drop-in music lessons in partnership with the Manitoba Conservatory of Music and Arts? The tuning program runs Tuesdays at the Western Cultural Center from 4 to 6 p.m. and is for ages 12 to 18.
With your CKUW Friends Card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends Card, your dollars get you more at
Dooley Records at 557 Portage Avenue. Dooley Records is a crate digger's paradise with vintage vinyl, tapes, and CDs added weekly. With spine-tingling vinyl, cassettes that won't put you in debt, and CDs, well, you just got a CD's compact discs with your 10% discount.
Join CKUW 95.9 FM Community of Support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends Card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.
You know, sometimes you just got to hear something more than once. Well, you're in luck. Groundswell Radio is on CKUW 2 p.m. on Mondays, then again the following Sunday at 4 p.m. The best new concert music from Winnipeg and around the world, right here on CKUW 95.9 FM.
Action. just like our friends.